You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, June 22nd, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Happy Thursday to you. Happy NBA Draft Day to you as well. A lot of draft talk, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to get into that in very, very short manner. I know Corey and I feel very passionate, and this is our chance to unload. So we're going to take that in just a couple minutes or so. But first, good morning, Corey Parson.
Hey, what's the deal, Greg? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, man. How are you?
I'm feeling good. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning doing well. You know what I'm saying? Scott Wynn, his Russell Wilson jersey, whatever. So we got a good program on deck. So I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. And then we'll get a chance to talk about how much of a crazy old kook Phil Jackson is.
Oh, we're gonna do that very shortly because I can't contain myself. Scotty, how are you? How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Exciting time of year, NBA draft. We're getting closer to football. We've launched the exclusive Edge package earlier than ever. Free radio checkout for a special discount, and we also unveiled Joe Lisi's ebook on rotoexperts.com yesterday. Check it out for 2017. Go for the two.com fantasy preview for all you college football fans.
There you go. Matty Mo, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good. I wonder if Scott's going to be breaking some news with his Russell Wilson jersey. Has Russell moved up to number one?
Is it official?
I wore this for you. You see this Super Bowl champion thing?
Oh.
You're not familiar with that.
Yeah. I'm familiar with winning Super Bowls and fantasy football. Yeah. You're not familiar with that.
Let the barbs be accurate.
I was rolling.
I was winning championships when you still had hair.
You got a full head of hair, Scott.
Yeah. He's balding now. I don't know where it's going. Come back.
It's amazing, the bald guy.
Scott,
hair
Scott obviously in the Engel household, there's no mirrors. That's all I can say.
Well, yours are cracked, obviously.
Oh my goodness. This is going wild.
Yeah. Early on
Thursday morning, I actually thought Matt was going to respond with Super Bowl. The Super Bowls are like fantasy rotations. They don't exist in fantasy. But, you know. But nevertheless, we didn't go there. We on the program today, I mentioned it with Tony just a second ago. I want to get into the number three for a little while, a little bit later on. Yeah, exactly. This guy knew he read the rundown. That's why I would. Yeah. Number three, because number three wide receivers, I think, are interesting. And, like, we don't want to go that far down the depth chart very often. But there is some value to be had. And I'm not talking about the first or second round or anything like that. But there's some guys that I think are worth talking about. We've mentioned some of them before. Like, Ted Ginn has been mentioned on the show. I know Matt's really high on Ted Ginn. In New Orleans, a perfect situation. So, guys like that, where I want to know where we should be drafting them, how important they are to get them on our team. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show today. But, when we come back, it's the NBA draft tonight. Let's talk about the NBA draft. Let's talk about the Knicks. Let's talk about Phil Jackson. Because I need to. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. The NBA draft is tonight. First hour. YouTube live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And of course, broadcast on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It will be our draft preview show. Danny Martinez and myself will be anchoring your coverage here tonight.
Who's the top guy coming out of Maryland?
That would be Melo Trimble. It doesn't seem like he's going to get drafted. It's very frustrating because if he came out 2 years ago, he would have been in the lottery, and then he got exposed a bit. So it's okay. Mel will be okay.
I think the kid should be able to go straight from high school. I don't get that rule. To me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with you. But
didn't hinder Moses Malone.
Yeah, well, they changed the rules, Scott.
That's your example, Moses Malone.
No, I'm saying guys can go straight from high school to the NBA and be successful.
LeBron James.
No, I'm
we
saying
went all
no,
the way back to Moses Malone.
My point is, it's been, you know, there's been guys doing it since, you know, the 70s. You know,
yeah, like, of course.
You know, why not let them do it?
Right. All right.
Kobe Bryant did it, Scott.
Yeah.
But Kevin,
those are the
well?
Easy ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going for easy. I'm going Moses Malone, Daryl Dawkins.
All right, let's do it.
When it wasn't a...
Same thing major at this tonight. We've had, you know, a major trade already with the Celtics and the 76ers. Basically, Markelle Fultz will be part of the Sixers. And the Celtics turned out number three. And the thought process was, all right, with the number three pick, there's a very good chance it'll go to Chicago for Jimmy Butler, potentially Indiana for Paul George, something like that. Because this is a team that is built to win right now. And they're not waiting for another rookie. And they want to get a piece and something to help them beat LeBron James right now. Jimmy Butler seems like the perfect fit to me. Fine. All well and good, and I'm watching everything unfold from afar. Like the Dwight Howard trade was cool. The D'Angelo Russell trade was pretty interesting. And again, I'm watching this from afar. I feel this is like I'm interested, right? Like I'm thinking D'Angelo Russell's fantasy value next year is going to be through the roof. Like on the Nets, you can chuck as many times as you want. Like I'm, the same reason I liked Jeremy Lin last year is the reason I'm going to like D'Angelo Russell this year. And again, I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing. This is really interesting. Until yesterday, I had come to grips, almost a realization, that Carmelo Anthony will not be part of the New York Knicks next year because the GM of the Knicks is a bumbling idiot. He's a fool. And he cares more about proving that a system that is archaic at this point, that does not involve shooting three-pointers, is how you should win the NBA today. And for this particular GM, it's about legacy. And despite winning more NBA championships than anyone, he needed to prove his system was generational. His system would always work. So he's going to trade away the top scorer on his team to prove that. Fine. I've come to that realization. Maybe Carmelo Anthony's not the player that he was. Fine. It's not like I ever wanted him in fantasy basketball anyway. Like I always kind of stayed away from Melo because I thought he only scored and he didn't do enough. Fine. And then there's rumors that leak out yesterday morning by Adrian Wojnarowski that Phil is listening to calls on Kristaps Porzingis. And I took it as like, okay, Woj is reporting that, and fine, right? Like, any GM, and we do this in fantasy too, any GM should take calls on any player. Scotty owned Mike Trout in fantasy. Like, he should take calls on Mike Trout before he was injured and after he was injured. It's going to take a king's ransom in order to acquire him, but nevertheless, you should take calls on everybody, and that's fine. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Aaron Rodgers, David Johnson, whoever. Take calls. No issue. The issue is Phil Jackson refusing to do an interview with anybody. This is going to sound familiar. With anybody but his own media propaganda. And that is with MSG. Phil Jackson goes on MSG.
Without
Troutwick to have an interview because he didn't want to be interviewed by CNN or NBC. He went on with MSG. And
this is disgusting.
And Al Chatwick interviews him. He's like, what is the deal with this Kristaps Porzingis stuff, basically? And he goes, we got to do what's best for the team. You know, what we have is not working. We're going to have to get younger and rebuild. Mind you, Kristaps Porzingis is 22 years
old. How old is he going to be? He's 21
years
old.
He'll be 22.
How much younger do you want to be? Did you want to trade for a middle schooler?
This guy, man, I can't.
He is 21 years old. He'll be 22 in August. 21 years old. And this all comes from we have to do, quote, what's best for the basketball team. Do you know why Phil's upset? Because in his mind, quote, 25, 30 years of doing this, he has never had a player skip on an exit interview. Except that's a lie. You know how with certain people you can go back into their old tweets or back into their old transcripts and find, like, hypocrisy or lies? That is what you can find with Phil Jackson.
All the time.
In 2004, you know who missed an exit interview because he was pissed off?
Kobe Bryant?
Shaq!
Shaq, there you go.
Shaquille O'Neal, another big man. You know why Kristaps Porzingis is upset? Because this organization lies to him. This organization is not trying to win. They are trying to improve on a grisly, old, psychotic man's legacy.
Psychotic is the correct word, too.
They are trying to fix his legacy. And in order to do that, they're willing to trade away a a bona fide star who could become a bona fide superstar in this league. He is 21 years old. And tonight, with the NBA draft, they're willing to trade him away for, to get younger, a 19-year-old kid who, let's face it, may suck.
Hasn't done anything.
He may suck. The one thing that Phil Jackson has done well in the NBA was draft, in the NBA as a general manager, has draft Kristaps Porzingis.
And he didn't want to draft him.
Correct.
He even said, yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but he...
It was his top scout that said, you've got to draft
top five picks, even in the top five, they don't always hit. And he wants to trade him for a 19-year-old?
Correct.
Yeah.
So you have Kristaps Porzingis, the one thing that he lucked in to getting right. 22 next year, a kid that is only improving, that is working his ass off to improve, that is a 7-foot monster that can hit, that is perfect for today's NBA. That's the problem,
Corey. A future all-star.
Kristaps Porzingis is perfect for today's NBA. He's not perfect for 1995 NBA. He's perfect for 2017 NBA. And because of that, Phil Jackson wants to trade him away for a guy that can hit long twos.
Listen, he's a psychotic old hippie. He's a psychopathic hippie. He's high. And then the thing yesterday with Al Troutman, that is classic Madison Square Garden material. Though, let's trot Phil out there on our network with our guy so we can control the situation. And then Phil says, oh, well, when the guy skips the exit interview, people start to speculate. Would you shut up, you crazy old fool? Get off the damn TV. You're embarrassing Madison Square Garden. I'm sick of this dude. Get his ass out of here.
Forget embarrassing Madison Square Garden. Phil Jackson's embarrassing himself.
He is.
But it starts at the top. The problem is with James Dolan. And he did it with the Rangers with Glenn Sather. These are the guys that are his buds.
Yeah.
And he lets them do. There's nothing that they can do that he's going to fire them and all that stuff. So, I mean, it really starts there. And that's been a big problem.
Yeah, now there's a sense that teams maybe can come in and steal Porzingis.
Correct.
During his speech, like, okay, like, he tried to make it sound like we're not moving the guy yet, but we're just listening to what's best for the team. But what's best for the team is don't even listen. That's not the guy that you get rid of. He talks about wanting to get younger. He says, we're rebuilding to get younger. Again, the guy is 22 years old, and then they asked him about Carmelo, and he says Carmelo's a future Hall of Famer, but you know, maybe it's time for a change. He's done so much for this organization. He's not showing he's grateful to Carmelo at all either.
Yeah, but the Knicks should have never, in my opinion, re-signed Carmelo at that time. They should have went in a different direction. They were not going to win with him, but Dolan wants a star there right. So he can fill the seats.
Right, so I agree with that exact point, right? Like it was a short-sighted decision. They needed to do a lot more than just re-sign Melo or give him the no trade. Like, let him go to Chicago, rebuild. And I would have been okay with that. I really would have. And I said that at the time. I think I said it to Corey, honestly. I would have been all right with that. Because it gave you flexibility. I'm all about the flexibility, so I'm right. So I'm totally with that. But the statement you just made, James Dolan needs a star to sell tickets in Madison Square Garden to fill up the seats. You're right. So why in the hell doesn't he step in and say, Phil Jackson, you crazy old hippie, stop trading my meal ticket. Stop trying to trade away my star. Like, everything you said with the Rangers is true. With Glenn Sather, that was there forever, right? He would not... He just let these guys go and go and go. And his reasoning for Phil Jackson, he said this during his Oakley feud, like, you know, it's Phil's team. I gave Phil the power. Well, he thinks of it like this. Everybody wanted Phil Jackson. Cares. Yeah. Now I gave him Phil Jackson.
Well, he's not complaining about this.
Yeah, he's a crazy old hippie, too. He just is, you know, his father had a lot of money.
You're right.
You know, that's the thing. He has a band and whatever the hell he does.
Correct.
But it's kind of the same thing. And like I said, I think it's more that he falls in love with, like, Phil Jackson. Like
Isaiah Zaver. Thomas. Yeah, these guys like this, and it doesn't work well, and it's a drain. He's the worst man in New York City, James Dolan, and Phil Jackson is right there behind him. I wonder who Phil Jackson Connect is. Like, where does Phil Jackson get his weed from? Because that's a hell of a plug that he's got.
Yeah.
It's clearly making this man insane.
It's unbelievable. It's
not good stuff, obviously.
Or it's obviously really good stuff.
Yeah, either way, you know.
It's like mind altering.
Yeah. Oh, I know what we can do. We can trade our best player who's 21.
It might not be weed, you know. It could be some of these old 1960s drugs.
LSD. Yeah. Whatever it is, Phil needs to stop taking it. I'm just so frustrated and so angry as a Knicks fan. Corey, it turned me off from the draft. It really has.
I mean, I don't blame you. You want to sit back tonight scared because you don't know what the Knicks are going to do to continue to ruin the franchise.
I'm petrified, and I'll continue to be petrified. We'll talk more NBA on the other side. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A little frustrated here on a Thursday morning.
Sweet tune, though.
Very good tune. Dr. Ray was really impressed with your air guitar skills, I think. Air bass guitar.
Yes. I'd like to play a concert for Dr. Ray sometime.
Private?
So let me get into that for a moment, Scott. So if you played a private concert for Dr. Ray,
there
would be no music.
What do you mean? We just turn on the music and I'd start air
guitar. There'd be music in the back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be fully clothed?
Wouldn't you like to know, Matt?
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scott, wait a minute. This is. Wait a minute. You're going to turn on some music, and you're going to play the air guitar for Dr. A.
Yeah, why not?
Does it sound creepy?
Yeah.
Because it's weird as shit. That's why not, Scott. That's why not. It's very scary that you want to do that, too, Scott. Is he going to tip you while you're doing this?
No. He doesn't have to.
All right.
I do charge a fee, though, like any DJ or anything like that.
You charge a fee? Well, what would the fee be?
What?
What would your fee be?
I'm not going to disclose that.
Why?
What?
What if people want to book you? How do they know how much to pay?
They'll email me. We'll talk about it privately.
All right. I didn't know.
Would you like to put your email out there?
What? Have you done this before?
Just go to contact us at RotoX.
Have you done this before?
No.
Huh. So it sounds like the price is negotiable.
Yeah.
Would you say you'll charge more or less than Corey does for an auction?
To
be an auctioneer?
Maybe about the same.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like Corey does more work.
That's okay. Take it how you want to take it.
I will. I appreciate that.
I'd play a concert for you.
I want to know how much you charge.
What?
Why are you saying what? You hear me. Well, I want to know how much you charge. You want to hold a concert for me. How much will you charge?
We'll talk about it after the show.
I want to talk it on the air.
No, I don't want to discuss
then
that.
Then I will not be...
That's a private negotiation.
Then I will not be booking you.
Okay, that's okay. Fine. I don't do 14-year-old girl music anyway.
Oh, here we go.
You know what? You just lost a client.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Lost a client.
There's a lot more out there.
Oh, he gets personal.
You are costing yourself money. I would have threw money at you for a 2-hour Roto Experts concert if you told me the price on the air. I would take my wallet.
I'll charge you $50 an hour.
Oh, no, I got a price. Yeah. $50 an hour?
Yeah.
For you to just play air instruments?
Yes.
What makes you think that is worth that fee?
It's very entertaining and it's a lot of work.
What is the work?
I will say Scott does exhibit a lot of energy while he's doing it.
To be fair, you know what? An hour straight of it is probably very strenuous.
I can do it.
Do you want to start? Can we time you and see if you can do it this morning?
I'll chip in.
Ooh,
Danny! Danny's a real musician.
but Danny can play real
exactly
better, not air instruments.
Oh, you're better at air instruments.
Yeah. Would you like to have an air instrument off?
Yeah, we can do that with Danny. Yeah,
Danny Okers, we're gonna need you to come upstairs later on this morning. And we're gonna have an air instrument off. We'll have Mona play some music in the background, and then we'll have Danny stand here. And you stand.
I get to pick my song though.
No.
No, you
it's
what?
Random. Yes. It's totally random. Pavona's going to pick a random song. Danny won't know the song either.
No, I want to pick my
song. No! That's not how the competition works.
Says who?
Me! It's my competition!
You know what?
How is
Let's
it your
Scott
competition?
Pick the song. Let him pick the song.
No, but he's practiced. He's practiced. I can't have a song.
I'll give my best performance if I can pick the song.
But I'd rather you not practice. It's not fair to Danny. If you've practiced the song before, Danny
hasn't.
Yeah,
but I'm going against a professional musician here.
But not a professional air musician, as you
That's
said.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The same.
You are good, Scott. Very I will say scary. That. You are good.
Yes. Very scary.
It's conversation.
Yes, it has. It has gotten a little creepy, but you know.
Okay, let's move on then. I mentioned this during the break, and that was not about the crazy old hippie Phil Jackson, who truly is a crazy, crazy old man. But the fact was that I am scared, Matt, to watch the draft tonight.
Well, what would it take if he traded Porzingis? How many first round? Say he went to Boston. How many first round picks? You know, obviously the number three this year, but after that, how many more?
I want the Nets next year. I want the Nets pick next year for sure. I want Jaylen Brown, who's our best young player. I want him. I don't know how much you could ask for more.
That's really it. That's, oh, they're not going to come off with nothing more than that. That's still a team trying to make a run. This is ridiculous.
Is that good for you, though? Would that be good for you?
Nah, forget that. It's not good enough. Keep the damn Porzingis. What's wrong with you?
So it sounds like the what Phil really wants is Devin Booker in the number four pick.
Yeah, they like Devin Booker a lot. They want to get that Suns pick.
Get Devin Booker and Josh Jackson.
You just draft somebody you can build around Porzingis at number eight.
Right. It seems so simple.
Yeah.
It seems so simple.
That's what sober people
think. That's the problem with it.
People that's not on mushrooms think that, Scott.
it would be. Dude, let's trade for the Suns pick, man. You ever sit in the Suns, man?
I don't get it.
It would be nice if LeBron came to New York like next year instead of L.A.
David Griffin, man.
I don't think he's going to leave Cleveland.
You think the rumors are false?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to leave Cleveland again.
I kind of agree with you.
Who does Cleveland got to get to keep him happy? Who would you say? What's that one player?
Michael Jordan.
No. That would not make him happy.
No, you're right. Then he got to chase the legacy.
That would not make him happy. I think you got like...
Jimmy Butler doesn't want to go to Cleveland, right?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. The answer either. Do you think it's Chris Paul, like having Chris Paul by his side?
Oh, that'd be nice.
But they already got Kyrie.
Yes.
I don't think they want Kyrie.
Yeah, but what if play Chris Paul at the point and Kyrie at the shooting, man? Can't do that. Yeah, why not?
Kyrie's not a shooting guard.
Yeah. I feel like they got Steph. I think Steph would make him happy.
Yeah, that would make him happy. But Steph would go to Charlotte, though. But they're already talking. Kevin Durant already said he's going to restructure his deal.
That would have been great if Kevin Durant would have went to Cleveland. That
would have been crazy.
That would have been
super teams.
Nuts.
Yeah, that would have been.
That would have been fun.
I would have been all for it.
Yeah, same. Me too. I'm all about it, man. I'm all about going wherever you want. Make your money. Who cares? You know. I imagine Wall Street's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't begrudge anybody for making money and choosing their own, you know, lifestyle.
I know we didn't really have an opportunity to do it yesterday, Corey, because you were so bogged down with the FSTA and the NFL. But now that you've had a day to think about it, what do you think of this Dwight Howard trade to Charlotte?
Yo, I get it with his boy out there, you know, SVG, whatever. But listen.
SVG's in Detroit.
I mean, who's the head coach?
Steve Higgins.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
So, the bottom line is this. They brought him in there.
Yeah.
They're thinking they're going to win something with this dude?
It seems so.
He's a clown.
Yeah, he had a precipitous fall.
Yeah. He's a clown. The thing with Dwight Howard, people bring him in there thinking that he's the next piece. Listen, he's dominant physical presence, and he still is even at this age, you know what I mean? But he has never really decided to commit himself to being a professional athlete to take over an NBA game. Or a team the way he really can. Everywhere he goes, people hate him. They despise him. Why would you bring Dwight Howard into your locker room? It's crazy to me.
Because they're looking at it because they want to bring him in to bolster the defense. And this team's focus is on let's make the playoffs. And they feel like from that perspective that he's the next piece.
Dwight Howard will be 32 years old for this season. Owed $57 million over the next 2 years. And Steve Clifford is their head coach. And Clifford was an assistant in Orlando.
With
Dwight Howard.
There you go.
So he's owed $57 million. I said 70 yesterday, so I wasn't that far off. That's crazy.
That's guaranteed money, too.
Yeah. No.
It's all guaranteed money. The salary cap, by the way, was announced to be a little bit lower than people expected it to be. A couple million dollars lower, which I thought was kind of interesting. No, all right. No.
Well, we'll see tonight with all the trades, and I think it will be interesting because it's going to impact some teams tonight, right?
Yeah, it's a fun draft. You know, everybody talks about the NFL draft. I'd like to see a few more trades during the football draft, to, like spice things up.
There's a lot of trades during the football drafts. There's a ton of trades.
Well, you know, I'm talking about like moving players.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying? The picks all the time. I know what you're talking about. To be clear, It's really cool. I like when you get a draft day trade involving football. It just doesn't happen. And then we had the baseball draft recently, and I feel like that only appears to like the hardcore baseball fan.
Yeah, well, it's tough. I mean, we don't know these high
school kids. We don't know these
guys. They're not
going
to be there for at least a couple. I mean, now players are coming a lot sooner. But, Scott, did you get a chance to watch the Golden Knights expansion draft last night? The
NHL? No, I don't watch hockey.
So Marc-Andre Fleury is about Golden Knight, right? Yep. They're all excited about that.
You know, I think the way they did it was pretty cool. I think they'll be more competitive. And they actually acquired a couple of first-round picks.
Because people wanted to keep their guys, right? So that's pretty cool. Who did the Rangers give up?
Oh, I know. Oscar Lindbergh was taken from them.
Is that bad?
He's a good young player, but, you know, I mean, they had to give him something.
I heard Florida lost some significant pieces.
I forget who Florida did, but yeah. I know they, like I said, they got a 13th and 15th pick besides their own, so that's pretty good, you know, for this.
Now, I was reading my my friends were telling me, so Marian Hossa is done for the year with a skin disorder, almost like a staph infection type thing due to his uniform, right? Is that correct?
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Oh, yes, that's true. So Marian Hossa has a progressive skin disorder that he received from his like pads or his uniform and stuff, and it's like gross and terrible. And my friends thought this is a whole conspiracy theory, that basically they wanted to get Hossa like off the cap for the year, like Ilya Kovalchuk style.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is getting up there. I mean, he's had a great career, really good player. But that's crazy.
Yeah, NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson recently had surgery for skin cancer disorder.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not keeping him out of racing, fortunately.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, you were going to be going to Vegas later this year.
I was. I canceled it.
You canceled it?
I will not be going to Vegas.
Oh, I know you always look forward to that weekend.
I do, but I haven't gone for it. It was going to be the first time for football, but, you know. Maybe that Thursday night we'll do something special here.
All right, maybe. Because I was wondering if you were going to go check out a Golden Knights game.
I hate the name Golden Knights, I got to be honest. I wanted Aces. I thought Aces
is cool.
Was perfect.
Aces,
I mean,
is cool.
I don't know. Well, it's too much with gambling. I mean, you're in Vegas. I mean, really. Like,
right.
You know, it's like the elephant in the room.
Sure. So
the Golden Knights does sound kind of cheesy. Like, yeah. You expect to like to see a buffet at the game or something
and,
like that.
And you know there's going to be jokes, golden showers and stuff. It's not going to be
that. That's real nice, man.
Really?
Well, you know what's going to happen.
To be honest with you, didn't cross my mind. Did not cross my mind. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about a quarterback that may be playing his future in Las Vegas. We do that when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Basically what happened to the Knicks, man. Miami 2017. One of my favorite Billy Joel songs.
Which one is this?
Miami 2017.
I thought this was like John Tesh for a second.
Seen the lights go out on Broadway.
Okay, I got you.
There you go. I see what Pavone is doing. We're on the same wavelength there. We're talking a second ago with the Golden Knights, Las Vegas' first professional sports team out of the Big Four. And the second one very likely will be following in the form of the Las Vegas Raiders in a couple of years. Now, with the Raiders scheduled to head to Vegas, the tax changes. There's no state tax in Nevada, I believe. So, there is a large state tax in California, a small state tax in Las Vegas, and that affects one Derek Carr, who is about to become the richest quarterback in the history of the National Football League, signing the biggest contract, making about $25 million a year. Corey Parsons, simple question. Is Derek Carr worth the money?
Yeah, I think Derek Carr is worth the money. Listen, we haven't really truly seen that big breakout season yet, but we do feel as if it's coming. He's got a good young offense around him, dynamic offensive line, system that fits him well. He's recovering from that surgery. It's David Carr's time to get paid. Eventually, this Oakland Raider team is going to be, well, this Raider franchise is going to be the team that upends the New England Patriots and ends their dynasty in the AFC.
I do have an NBA update before I get back to Derek Carr. I'm sorry.
Fine. What is it?
The Process tweeted this last night.
Joel Embiid, I saw this.
We don't care about exit meetings in Philly. You're welcome to join.
It's just trolling. It's trolling the New York Knicks.
The Knicks being trolled by Philly.
By Philadelphia. The 70 damn Sixers.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Derek Carr. Scotty, do you believe he is worth $25 million a year?
I don't know about that, but like every time you see a quarterback get a new contract, it's, you know, it's more than just like the most recent one. You know, these are going to go up and up. It's kind of what I expect. You know, Derek Carr is worth it in the fact that I think he's going to be a premier quarterback in this league for many years to come. From a fantasy perspective, I think you want to see more consistency from him. And, you know, that's what you want, because like we've seen him go through these hot stretches where he'll be really good for the first half of the season and then he'll fall off. So, you know, That's something I think has to be worked with. Like somebody, this really speaks to the state of quarterback in the NFL, because Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins are good quarterbacks, but you know they're not perfect quarterbacks, and they're getting this kind of money because the teams if a guy's anywhere remotely like a quality quarterback, they have to tie him up.
Here's a tweet last night from Mike Clay. Over the last three seasons, 750 attempts or more. Derek Carr is second worst in yards per attempt at 6.5. Brock Osweiler, 6.3. Blake Bortles, 6.6. And the other high-paid guy, Joe Flacco, 6.8.
I think over that span, though, he has the fourth best touchdown interception radio, TD to interception radio ratio in the league behind Brady, Rodgers, and Wilson.
You know, I look at Derek Carr, and I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's just a very simple argument or a very simple conversation. You look at the Bills to an extent. You look at the Jets. You look at Cleveland. You look at Houston. Right. You look at all these teams that, quite frankly, would kill for Derek Carr.
Yeah, I would have gladly paid for him.
Right.
As a Bills fan.
It is just so hard to find a franchise quarterback that, to me, is worth every dime. I read a stat yesterday. I apologize. I don't remember who tweeted it. I read a stat that actually said, arguably, that the quarterback is the most underpaid position in the NFL because of the product of how important they are to their team's wins versus like how much of the salary cap that they take up. It's like so disproportionate because of how important that one spot is. When you have like guys like Olivier Vernon, who was fantastic for the Giants last year, making $80 million or whatever, and a quarterback is making a lot less guaranteed, like the quarterback is just so much more important than one defensive end. And Derek Carr has proven in his 3 years in the NFL that he can win, right? Like he had Oakland. You can say what you want about their schedule and say what you want about how they did it, but they had this team on the verge of being the number one overall seed last year in the AFC. And that is enough for me to pay you, basically.
No doubt. I mean, this is a young man going into his fourth year in the league. What is he, 25, 26 years old? Mm-hmm. 26 years old, probably looking at his first 4,000-yard season, get back over that 30-touchdown plateau this year. What are they going to do, let him walk?
Right.
You got to pay the man the money, you feel what I'm saying?
Or you treat him like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, or you treat him like, and they're not going to do that.
Fantasy-wise, you hope he takes that next step in terms of consistency.
26. He'll be 26 this year.
Fantasy-wise, you're hoping that he takes that next step in terms of reliability because he's got very good receivers, obviously with Crabtree and Cooper. You want to see Cooper be more consistent. But this is a guy that, at worst, you're streaming him, but, best.
I don't think he's a streamer. I think you go with him. I think you rock him. You put him in there. I got him as my quarterback.
He hasn't done it. I'm saying at worst.
I just moved him up.
At worst, he's a streamer. But you hope and you think that he takes that next step where you can put him in there every week.
I think he's an every week guy right now.
I think he's on the verge of it, but he's still got to prove it.
I got him at quarterback 12 right now. I just moved him up. I bumped him ahead of Cam Newton. I got him at quarterback 12. I like the pieces too much. I think it's too much good things going on in Oakland right now. I'm excited about the franchise. So I feel like Derek Carr is ready to make that next step. I'm going to have some ownership of Derek Carr.
We don't actually disagree that much because when you're putting him at 12, you're saying I'm having the confidence that he has to take that next step. But when you're right on that 12, 13 cusp, you got to more prove it. Corey thinks he's going to prove it. I don't have a problem with that, but he's got to prove that he can be that every week.
Well, I want to say something right quick about his weapons in the passing game. Listen, this may sound crazy. Dollar make you holler late. Cordarrelle Patterson. I think Cordarrelle Patterson in Oakland can be a thing.
Well, he's on my list, number three wide receiver to get to in a little bit. Like a guy that maybe dollar make you holler, a guy that you're going to have to remember.
Yeah, you can count kick return yardage, yeah.
Not just that. Think about this. Seth Roberts was targeted a hell of a lot in the red zone. Like, if I can look this up, and I know that he's in the top five, I want to say. Top 10, maybe. I want to look it up. In red zone targets.
Not in on Cordarrelle Patterson.
People
at all.
No matter what
team he's on.
What were you about to say, Matt?
I think it's great that he has Cooper,
Crabtree, and the Cole crew.
He has that crew, and I think Cooper is only going to get better. I mean, Crabtree has been a dominant red zone guy, but we still haven't seen Cooper break out. And as you mentioned, Carr hasn't broken out yet.
Yeah, he hasn't been yet.
The one thing he has struggled with is his AFC, is his Western opponents.
Yeah,
like Denver and Kansas City.
Two tough defenses.
He's been pretty bad versus them. But I think this is a good team. And we spoke in the last hour. I jumped in. We talked about Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And basically, if Marshawn Lynch is just better than Latavius Murray, he's a top 12 running back. from last year.
Just to clarify, we were talking about Cordarrelle Patterson a moment ago. Seth Roberts was inside the top 10 last year in red zone targets. That is Cordarrelle Patterson's role right now. He's going to usurp that number three job from the architect.
I have no problem. I have no problem putting Cordarrelle Patterson on the fantasy team later. If it don't work out, you cut him. I'm not going to go as Scott as far as Scott says and says that he has no fantasy value whatsoever. I think that's a humongous mistake when you're talking about this offense, that quarterback, and the skill set that Patterson has.
Yeah, you're talking about Patterson's talent, but we've been talking about
For how long, Scott? For 2 years?
Forever. Forever.
And Minnesota,
the guy doesn't run good routes.
One of the most offensively limited places in the NFL is the Minnesota Vikings offense. It's a barren wasteland. If you get him in a place now with a good offense, Scott, I don't want to hear it.
You're wrong.
You don't want to hear it? Well, you will hear it. You will hear it. I don't care what you want to hear. You will hear it. He runs crappy routes.
You're wrong on Patterson.
He's a bubblehead. He's a bubblehead, and he's going to be a disappointment.
How is he disappointment, Scott? What is he?
He runs bad routes. He's a kick returner. He's a kick returner, and he's dead in. You will hear it. You will hear it. And you will hear it now. Cordarrelle Patterson will be a waste of a draft pick.
No, he will not.
You will hear it.
Dollar make you holler on Cordarrelle Patterson. Mark my words. Scott will be
wrong. Quarter make you bust. Now dollar make you holler.
Scott, you can't get nothing for a quarter, son.
I don't want Cordarrelle Patterson for a quarter.
Look how he came on towards the end last season, too.
Are we believing?
Dude had 52 catches last year, Scott. He had 52 receptions last year. He's going into like his fifth season in the league. He's 26 years old.
And he hasn't done nothing for four seasons.
Yeah, but
Scott,
that don't
he
mean
was
nothing.
In Minnesota, Scott. It's barren offensively, Scott.
All we heard about the talent. You can't just judge a guy by talent alone.
Last season, we did see flashes of it. And
flashes of it forever.
Can you say the same thing?
This is Jerome Simpson all over.
Wait. You say that, but why couldn't it be like Emmanuel Sanders?
I just don't see it. I don't see it. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, didn't lack the polish like Cordarrelle Patterson does.
Scott, you've never seen Cordarrelle Patterson. You've seen some film. You've seen some tape on Cordarrelle
Patterson.
This guy's the first round. Draft pick.
Just
these
about
NFL
every game
the
every week.
Doing, Scott.
Yeah, I've watched Cordarrelle Patterson.
Wait, time out. He's saying for a dollar. He's saying you're in an auction, you throw a dollar on him. I don't have a problem with that.
Round 19, guy like that. Cooper, he could very well hit.
Crabtree Cooper in the running game. They're going to eat everything else up. He's not going to be fantasy
relevant. What's Raider football?
What?
What's Raider football, Scott? Historically, what's Raider football?
Throwing
the ball down the field.
Yeah, and he'll drop it.
To playmakers like Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, bounce off his hands. If he gets open.
Speaking of obscure third wide receivers, anybody believe in the Andre Holmes talk in Buffalo, how super he looks?
No.
Every summer, these writers are writing something because they need something to write. We hear these
pieces but
every
year. I'm just saying, this is a big dude. He's got, he does have some athleticism to him and stuff.
Andre Holmes is a guy I might throw in a daily lineup here and there.
You throw Andre Holmes in daily lineup. Are you losing your mind, Scott?
I'm sorry that nobody's allowed to disagree with you.
Andre Holmes on the Buffalo Bills as opposed to Cordarrelle Patterson on the Oakland Raiders. But you'll throw a dollar at Holmes.
I didn't say I'd throw a dollar at Holmes. I guess you don't listen.
Scott,
I said I put him in a DFS lineup. I didn't say I was going to draft him. And I'm sorry. I know nobody's allowed to disagree with you, but I will, and you'll have to take it.
Scott, let me do that Andre Holmes, Cordarrelle Patterson thing in a DFS lineup. If you're the Raiders, right, you're playing some terrible defense. You're in New Orleans, right, some terrible defense type of thing, right? Wouldn't you be more interested in the Cordarrelle Patterson, a third wide receiver, than Buffalo? In DFS. Forget.
Depends on who the guys are playing any given.
They're both playing New Orleans.
I'll go Andre Holmes.
Really? But the Bills' offense isn't as good as the Raiders. To be fair,
I feel like Holmes could play a more prominent role in that offense.
I have so much work to do with you, Scott. I have so
you don't have
much
to do
work
anything
do.
With me.
I have so much work.
People are allowed to disagree with you. I got
to
do work with you. Maturity,
Scott. We'll be back after this. We'll pause the football conversation for just about 30 seconds.
What happened now?
It's time for Road Experts at the Park.
Oh, okay. I thought something happened with Phil Jackson. My bad. I got
Phil Jackson's at the park.
No, I mean, someone was telling me. Tom, the audio guy of South Territory, was telling me that his buddy saw. He was in a one of those Europa cafes.
Yeah.
And Phil Jackson was behind him in line.
High as a kite.
picking up some tacos.
Those red velvet cupcakes.
Yeah. It's Bill Rush at the park. You're here every morning at 55 a.m. Eastern Time. Here, Scotty goes to the park. And for the full interview, of course, go on demand. Wherever you're listening to us, you can listen to Roto Experts at the Park. Scotty, you got an opportunity to talk to Eric Hosmer.
Yes. And just before we do that, Eric Hinsky, the assistant hitting coach.
Did you email me Eric Hosmer?
No.
Now I'm interested in finding out.
Yeah, Eric Hinsky, the assistant hitting coach for
Eric
the Cubs.
Hinsky, my bad.
And by the way, I'm sure Phil Jackson's at the park saying, "Oh, dude, I love the smell of grass." You know, I can see that. But Eric Hinsky, long assistant hitting coach for the Cubs, and I spoke to Hinsky about the struggles of Kyle Schwarber.
He's as talented as they come. It's really the first time Kyle's had a struggle in his life. So I think he's going through a position of adjustment and just needs to keep grinding, really. Get that barrel in the zone and try not to swing at the spin down. He's got more power than anyone walking around on this field, as everybody knows. He can definitely hit the home run. We just got to get a little bit more consistent contact, and he'll get there for sure. He's a great guy.
There we go. Back here. Eric Hinsky, excuse me. I was sleeping on the when I received that email, but Eric Hinsky on Kyle Schwarber. There you go. It's true. He's never struggled in his life, and he's got to figure it out.
This might actually be the best thing for him in the long term. Is going through this rough patch, you know, evolving his game, figuring things out. Because this kid is a stud hitter. At some point, he is going to get everything together.
Yeah, and hitting 171 right now. The BABIP's actually 193. He is striking out 28.7% of the time, but you kind of expect that. But the ISO is only 207. It's you got him on your roster. It's hard to cut him. You just got to reserve him and hope things get better in the second half.
Or training for Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scotty.
It didn't work out too well.
That one didn't work.
It was like a poison pill in that.
That wasn't good for anybody. Let me ask you this. I want to go back to the previous conversation for a second. I know that's what we're going to get into.
By the way, big fantasy football player. Big Packers fan. Been playing fantasy football for 20 years, Eric Hinsky. Big Packers fan, say he is not in on Ty Montgomery at all whatsoever, and from a fantasy perspective.
Oh, that's interesting.
That was his opinion.
Ask my other Packers fan friend what he thinks. It's interesting, Scotty. Yeah. Let me back to Derek Carr for a second. Where do you have him projected? What number?
I'd have to pull that up. To see exactly where it came out in the ranks.
Okay. Well, it's not ranks. His projections are different.
You told us about where exactly he came out. I think he came out about 8th.
Okay, about 8th.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Around there.
Because I know Corey used to have him at 13.
I got him at 13. Yeah. I moved him up to 12.
Moved up to 12.
Yeah. I moved him up ahead of Cam Newton.
I got him at 15.
So that is a very wide, range.
Quarterback
here.
Is so deep, though,
Derek Carr.
It's tough, though. There's so many guys.
They're bunched up. You know what I'm saying?
Where do you guys have... So you have him 8, you have him 12, you have him 15, man.
I feel good about like the first 6 quarterbacks. I think from like 7 to 17, it's more of a jumbled kind of thing.
I'm satisfied.
I'm sorry, Corey. The guy I wanted to compare him to and ask you about, say all three of you, where do you have Kirk Cousins ranked?
I got Kirk Cousins at 8.
Okay, so you have him in 8 and you have Carr at 12. Okay. No. Scotty.
Cousins came out about 10th.
So you have... All right, right, there you go. Yeah.
I have him 9th, but I think I'm sliding some people down. But he's right now 9th. The eighth or 9th for me is where you go, Cousins, Tim or Winston.
I'd like to discuss this on the way back. Why Derek Carr versus Kirk Cousins, why you have each ranked where you do, because I think they're kind of similar. So we'll do that when we come back. It's Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins. It's hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is our number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here, Wall Street, the fantasy executive, the king, all with you here Thursday morning, foul territory tonight. As you got the draft on one TV, you got Foul Territory on the iPad. And Matt Wadika does that, so check it out. It's Foul Territory.
That I do.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and Fantasy Sports Television Network as well. And Corey, on tonight's Foul Territory, we have a draft just based on Twitter.
Yes. It's pretty good. I was a part of it, so I think I won. I got the best player, put it like that. It's a secret. I got the best player that was in the draft.
You got DT?
I got the player that you would think the fantasy executive would have.
Did you now?
There you go. There you go. That's that big baller brand. Triple B's. Yeah, let's leave this right here for the day. It's big baller day. Oh, you know, Son is in New York, yo.
Oh, yeah, he
is. I said he was walking around Times Square yesterday taking pictures and shaking hands and stuff like that.
You should go out with your shoe.
I know. I should go find LaVar Ball, you know what I'm saying? So maybe he'll come to Rock and Rollies today.
Why don't you text him?
I'm going to hit him up. I'm going to send him a tweet like, yo, come to Rock and Rollies.
We'll put you on all day. Huh? We'll put them on all day.
The best line about those shoes is when Scott said he wouldn't wear them on the subway.
What's up, Scotty? You ready, Scott? You ready another season?
I'm ready.
I'm coming for you. You're so wrong. You're so wrong on my
nobody's allowed to disagree with Corey. His opinion has to rule everything. You're coming for me. You got a losing record against me.
Anyway,
I win chips.
Before
I win chips too,
guys. Before the break, I mentioned Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr, and you had them pretty separate.
By the way, I looked it up, and those were not where I'm ranked. You kind of caught me off guard. I have Cousins at
projected,
9.
Not ranked.
I have
it's different for
projected.
You.
I have Cousins at 9 and Carr at 13.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're much closer to them now.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. What? So can you guys let me know
the projections?
Can you just let me know? Why everybody has Kirk Cousins ranked, give or take, four spots or so?
I'll start if you want.
Yeah, I got an answer for
you. I mean,
that.
I like...
Yeah, thank you.
I'm looking at a guy whose completion percentage is around 70%.
Right.
The attempts are going up every year. The yards... I like to look at the yards per attempt and the adjusted yards per attempt. I mean, last season, it was 8.1, 8.0. He's been there for the last 3 years pretty much in that range. Just under or over. So those are key stats to me. I do like Carr, but there's a lot of guys I like. So, I mean, if you have him 13, 15, 12, I think at that point it becomes a personal preference.
Yeah, it's pretty much what he said. It's the yardage. You're talking about a guy who threw for over 4,900 last year against a guy who has yet to throw for 4,000.
Corey, same thing?
Oh, who's the running? There's no running game.
That's another part of it.
Sam Perine.
But not to the point to stop Kirk Cousins' volume.
Fair enough. Yep. When we come back, we'll talk about Cordarrelle Patterson already. Let's talk about some more number three wide receivers. Next, here on the Roto-Rooters Experts in the Morning. Back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the exec, Wall Street, the king, all hanging out with you. And we're talking during the break about Jake Seeley's fantasy football rankings. You can see them right now inside the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, available now at rotoexperts.com. Use the promo code FREERADIO and get a couple bucks off. So why not? Why not? I also know we got a big 4th of July promotion coming up. That'll be really cool. So that's coming up next week or so, in the next couple of weeks. So get ready for that. But for now, use Free Radio when you check out.
We should do like a show on the deck of some fireworks going off in the background.
That'd be cool. I'm all for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for it.
I just don't want to get
spectacle
burned.
Spectacle like that. No, I don't want to get burned either. Scott, do you... I want to know, because I'm so confused. Like... He has to use the weapons that he has, Carr. Patterson is one of those weapons.
You're still on this?
Amari
so bothered Cooper, that somebody's going to disagree
Amari
with
Cooper
you.
Amari Cooper is not going to have 2,000 receiving yards this year, Scott.
Can you handle that somebody might disagree with you?
I feel as if you are making a big mistake on Patterson.
Can I just
say
one thing?
We disagree.
All right, then.
How about this?
I think the guy is talented, but he's fundamentally deficient.
That was standard. So let me see. Okay, PPR rankings. Jake has him at 109.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I said, we're talking about a player deep down draft board, you know what I mean? And I can get involved with him. Let me see where I got him at. I'm quite sure probably a little bit higher than Jake. And this is standard. Let me go to PPR. And especially if you get return, if you get return points, you need to have a player like Cordero Patterson because he's an excellent special teamer. I got him at 82. I got him one spot behind Torrey Smith.
How about this, Laquan Treadwell or?
Oh boy, give me the better offense, and the better offense is the offense in Oakland. So I'll take. Listen, people saying Treadwell blowing up. I know, Matt. I know you think that Minnesota offensively be better this year. I just think that Cordero Patterson a little bit late.
Oh, listen to this. Jake has Andre Holmes 97 for the Buffalo
Bills. I'll take Treadwell because you know the guy can only move forward to me, and you know there's a reason why they drafted him high.
Treadwell can only move forward. He didn't get on the field last year, but Patterson is regressing.
No, I don't think Patterson's going to progress at all.
Okay, so you think Patterson has popped? After four years in the league.
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. What I'm saying is that I just said I don't think he's going to progress. He's a good kick returner who once in a while will score a touchdown and might be more valuable for his NFL team than he would be for fantasy. I could never comfortably put Cordero Patterson in my lineup. Well, even in a bye week.
He's a depth guy, but I mean, I think he did make some progressions last year.
Let me ask this, because I'm talking about the number three wide receivers. So here's one that I found last night when kind of doing some research that I'm interested in. Certainly putting a dollar to make you holler.
Greg, that was,
I love how that sounded.
That was a
dollar to make you holler.
Well, I said it my way. Yesterday I did an impression.
Whenever
you do an impression, it's hysterical because like you don't do it a lot. Yeah, right. You get caught off.
I said Donna McYalla. I mean,
I like that.
You like that one better, Donna McYalla? All right.
Okay. Android devices.
All right. So would you, Scotty, what do you think of Travis Benjamin?
What I think of Travis Benjamin? He was a disappointment last year. He busted.
I don't care about last year. He ran 2017.
And I think he's just going to be too unreliable this year.
So would you spend a dollar to McYalla?
Would I spend a dollar for Travis Benjamin? Yeah, I might.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like Travis Benjamin. And everybody's all like, we drafted Mike Williams. We have Tyrell Williams. Travis Benjamin, they gave this guy a lot of money last year. And he was somebody that until he got hurt, remember, he was really hurt with that shoulder injury for the whole last month or two of the season. Before that, he was really good for the Chargers. And I think as a deep threat and an offense that likes to throw the ball, I know Anthony Lynn is there. Everyone knows Anthony Lynn. I like Travis Benjamin.
I like Tyler Gabriel.
Tyler Gabriel.
See, if I had to take a choice between the two.
Well, I wasn't up to Taylor. Taylor Gabriel is one we talked about a lot. That was kind of like the basis of the argument. Like, we all talk about Taylor Gabriel with the Falcons and whatnot. But it's Travis Benjamin, who you haven't mentioned.
I like him, and I think people liked him a lot going into this year.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many mouths to feed now. Yeah. Tyrell Williams really stepped up last year. You got Mike Williams.
You got
the two tight ends.
You still got Inman and Gates. They're going to run the football.
It's not that I don't like him. It's the opportunities that I'm looking at. Yeah. And like, you know, where's he going to get these targets? I mean, look, maybe somebody gets hurt. Keenan Allen, we're saying, is only 85%. Sure. Dr. A was really low on him.
Yep.
You know, so if that's the case, if Keenan Allen, say, can't come back 100%. I think he's somebody that's going to really.
Isn't Travis Benjamin's role in this offense very clear to you? Where like he's
a
deep threat.
I was
just
about to say he's a role player, right? It's like I don't see if Keenan Allen's out, him being a PPR guy who can consistently help move the sticks.
That'll be Tyrell Williams.
And then you got like all these guys have been saying. You got Tyrell Williams. You got Mike Williams. They're not looking at him. He has a specific role in this offense,
right?
I think of being that downfield threat and a certain exciting playmaker, and he's good at that.
I agree,
but more of a best ball guy to me.
And that's fine. But he's somebody that I think should be taking best ball.
I think if Allen's not there, Allen's going to play the slot this year. That's what they were saying they wanted to do. And if Allen's not there, say Allen can't make it back for some reason. You know, he has a setback. Yada yada. Benjamin playing the slot. I like that. Tyrell Williams is going to be on the outside. You got Mike Williams on the outside.
I don't think Mike Williams is getting on the outside
I'm just saying,
so quickly.
If he's healthy, yeah. Or you have Inman. But if you put Benjamin in the slot, I do like him in PPR. I like him a lot in PPR.
Yeah, I got to disagree with that. I just don't think. You look at Keenan Allen, smooth route runner, great hands. I feel like, put him in a slot and he'll be effective, but I feel like he's a different kind of player. He's not going to catch like seven, eight balls a game.
Keenan Allen was playing the outside. Now he's going to the slot. Travis Benjamin was their slot guy. So I like, if he's there in that aspect, I would like him without a Keenan Allen. I think he can play that role.
I don't think he's a possession guy. I don't think he is.
Corey, you've been kind of quiet on the Travis Benjamin.
I think he's a stretch the field type guy. I think he's a stretch the field type guy, maybe 40 to 50 receptions. Even with, I mean, I just don't see it, you know. I think Mike Williams, right now Travis Benjamin is number 3 on the depth chart. I think if Mike Williams can get healthy, he'll take over at the third. I think he's just down the field flyer, get a couple shots a game. Maybe he catches 40 to 50 passes. Maybe he gets 3 or 4 touchdowns throughout the course of the season. In that same realm kind of as a Cordarrelle Patterson.
That was why I took it. So on Fantasy Pros, according to their rankings, we have Cordarrelle Patterson. I just lost it, of course. Oh, here it is. All right, Cordarrelle Patterson is 102. Travis Benjamin is 11 spots higher at 91, or lower, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. Travis Benjamin is number 91 overall. He's not costing him anything. In the FSTA draft over this week, he wasn't drafted.
No.
He was undrafted. I think that's a mistake.
And Benjamin?
I think Travis Benjamin should be drafted.
I feel like he's going to get buried. But like he talks about, if Keenan Allen gets injured, you know, maybe he gets more of an opportunity.
He had 125 targets in 2015.
2 years ago, yeah.
You know, he's got to get the targets. I mean, he had 75 last year.
Yeah.
And now it's a crowded, look, I'm worried about Hunter Henry getting targets.
Exactly.
You know, I got to worry about Travis Benjamin. Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's just opportunity. And I think that's what fantasy football is mostly about.
Sure.
So.
And then it's the players on the team ahead of him are better. Allen's better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrell Williams is better than him. Mike Williams is better than him. Dontrell Inman's better than him.
See, Corey's right, because he had an opportunity coming in last year to be a prominent guy on that offense, even when he was healthy, and the consistency just wasn't there.
No, he was. He was consistent when he was healthy, and he hurt his shoulder, and he missed games, and he came back, and he was still
Greg,
hurt.
I don't know, if he was healthy, because I'm looking at some...
Well, he wasn't healthy. I'm looking at the game logs. First 5 weeks, he had 200-yard games. He had an 82-yard game. You know, that's not bad in the first 5 weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
And then after that, and after week 5, he fell off.
He fell off. He got hurt. I mean, I don't know when he got hurt in there, but yes, he fell off.
You take Keenan Allen out the offense.
I understand.
You take Keenan Allen out the offense. Really, you're running the show through Melvin Gordon. So you got Williams, Inman, and Benjamin, and he still was getting like 5 targets a game. You feel what I'm saying?
I understand.
Well, I think Benjamin's a guy, like I like to say, like there's guys for preseason that I will write down. Like an Andre Holmes, I want to see what he does.
Yeah.
Like your Laquan Treadwell and other guys. He's a guy that he needs somebody to, at least one person, and probably Keenan Allen in my opinion, but right or wrong, has to go down. There has to be opportunities created for him to be relevant. And if somebody does, that's the guy I'm going to go to the league.
Do you believe in the same argument with Tyrell Williams as well? Does somebody need to get hurt for him to have success?
You know what? I think Tyrell Williams is pretty good. I mean, I owned him last year, and I was pretty happy with the production. The thing is, I'm kind of with you right now about Mike Williams. I don't think they're going to rush this kid. They got, you know, they made too big of an investment. So as long as Mike Williams is kind of held back, and if you look at it, Mike Williams has got the back problem. Keenan Allen's coming back from the knee, and he's saying he's 85%. Dr. Ray saying he's not going to be 100% by week 1. Tyrell Williams is looking at like the guy who's benefiting the most as far as their wide receivers.
119 targets last year, mm-hmm. 70 receptions, and 70 touchdowns.
He was good.
That's a guy that would move the sticks for me rather than Benjamin, who like had 9 games of 4 catches or less last year.
Yeah, but I think Williams is better on the outside for me. But
something we have to watch in Los Angeles. That's something we need to pay attention to come preseason. Certainly the health for the Chargers. We'll come back. We'll pick up some more number 3 wide receivers. We'll find out if there's any interest in them. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way. Back. We're back here. On the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The number is 3. For number 3, wide receivers, and speaking of 3, Scott is wearing the number 3 Russell Wilson jersey. Behind Scott, it's Go for the 2, Joe Lisi's college football book. So check it out. Go for the 2, 2017 edition, available now.
Yeah, college football at rotoexperts.com. A full college football preview, whether you play fantasy, you like to wager, or you just want to know about your team in one of the Power 5 conferences. Ebook available now on rotoexperts.com.
And I highly recommend doing like a college football road trip. It's so awesome. the experience for me is better than the NFL game. I mean, I love NFL, I'm saying, but like if you go to the game, the whole experience, it's pretty damn awesome.
Do you remember like an hour ago when Scott called you bald? That was funny.
What happened when Scott called you bald?
I am, but at least I have hair.
It's okay, I look good with or without hair, so.
Are you saying Matt doesn't?
Yeah. What?
Are you saying Matt doesn't?
Yes.
Okay, just clarifying. Yeah. All right, so the next number three wide receiver I want to get to, and I want to see if you will what you're spending, if you're interested in. I gave you, when you talk about Cordarrelle Patterson, he's ranked over 100 in Fantasy Pros. We gave you Travis Benjamin, is ranked number 91. The next player up is ranked number 64. He is ahead of Taylor Gabriel. He's ahead of some of these other names that we're going to get to. He's ahead of Zay Jones, for instance. Number 64 on this list is J.J. Nelson. Can I interest you, panel, on J.J. Nelson?
I'm not fooling with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, if John Brown makes that, you know, if John Brown is the John Brown and, you know, he's healthy now, Carson Palmer's talking him up. I mean, I think Scott, like Scott said, J.J. Nelson in, say, DFS is more of an interesting guy. I mean, he's somebody maybe as depth, like wide receiver 6 or something like that.
Yeah, J.J. Nelson's a guy that can score touchdowns. You know, last year on 34 catches, he scored six touchdowns, but he's like a pure deep threat. The problem is, like Corey says, like, you know, that number two or number three receiver, even the number two has never been reliable in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how it's going to change when it's still Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. You know, even when Michael Floyd was there, he was supposed to be the thing, and it didn't happen. I have a hard time relying on any receiver there. But then again, you're saying dollar make you holler for J.J. Nelson. Well, you know, I feel like he's way too boom or bust, like even less than Travis Benjamin.
He's got some Tyreek Hill to his game without the Tyreek Hill skill set, and he's got people in front of him like Larry Fitzgerald and obviously David Johnson going to touch the ball 400 times. He's a poor man's Tyreek Hill. So it's no fantasy value here for me.
He had a 132-yard game in week 2 last year and then didn't get anywhere close to the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, playing week 2. He had a 132-yard game in week 16.
There's a guy going around him, like a Marquise Lee I'd rather have, and he's got a worse quarterback in a team that's not going to throw.
So Marquise Lee was another guy on my list here of number 3 wide receivers, right? Marquise Lee, someone that came on at the end of last year.
Is he the 2 or the 3?
That was my question.
There you go.
Is he the 2 or the 3 because of Allen Hurns, right? Like we kind of waited for Marquise Lee to be number 2 in Jacksonville for quite a long time. Allen Hurns was a guy that had an abnormal number of touchdowns 2 years ago. Really came back down, scorching down to earth when the Jacksonville offense faltered. Now we don't really know who the 2-3 is in Jacksonville.
Marquise Lee's a very good player. They set themselves up with a good wide receiving core with Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, Justin Blackmon also supposed to be in the mix. So they knew what they were doing when they were going. When they were drafting all of these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They was trying to put together this elite wide receiver core. Hasn't really happened that way, but Marquise Lee is a good player. I think he very well could be the number 2 guy, but I just worry about what are we going to get from Jacksonville this year. I think we're going to get a lot of running the football. I think we're going to be set up for Allen Robinson. I think we're going to work in some the tight ends a little bit more this year, you know, with Marone and Tom Coughlin kind of running that show, especially Marone offensively. So, yeah, I'm kind of off the Jacksonville passing game outside of Allen Robinson.
They want to have more offensive balance. But back to J.J. Nelson, you know.
Yep.
This is who J.J. Nelson is. It's like, you know, October 30th, 8 catches for 79 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then the next few games, it's like 2 for 29, 1 for 0, 2 for 30, 1 for 42. 1 for 8 and 5 for 38.
That 1 for 42 was a touchdown. That 1 for 8 was a touchdown. Now he had that stretch last year where he started reeling off those touchdowns, but you cannot predict.
You can't
that.
Count on that. No.
In the FSTA draft, J.J. Nelson also went undrafted. Here, Marquise Lee went in the 10th.
That's too high for Lee.
Allen Hurns went in the 14th. Just for reference.
Yeah, Hurns should be drafted in the 16-team league. Guys like J.J. Nelson, Cordarrelle Patterson in the 16 rounder, those guys more than likely should not be drafted. They're waiver wire fodder. J.J. Nelson the same way.
Well, just real quick with Lee. I mean, Lee had like was 30 something less yards than Allen Robinson last year. Just
yeah,
to put
nah,
it in perspective.
Lee was playing last year. Lee got it done. He could be the number two out there. I he's definitely draftable fantasy.
Robinson scares me this year because of what Corey talks about with them going to the run. They want to have more offensive
Allen
balance.
Robinson,
yeah, Allen Robinson scares me a little.
I think he could be a really good red zone asset. I think the touchdowns will still be there, maybe even more. And look, he's a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. They are reliant on the volume. But if Fournette,
if they run the ball a lot, what is the volume? Yeah,
they're still going to have to throw. My thing is, if the running game is successful, it's going to open up the passing game. Allen Robinson is still a damn good receiver. So I have apprehensions about him, and I love him, but he's still a damn good receiver. If the running game works, I think that benefits him and others.
I'm more with you than you think. It's like, I'm just saying there's like something in the back of my head.
I'm the same way.
With Jay Ajayi, as much as I like him, like the past injury history is always in the back of my head.
135 targets for Allen Robinson. I think he comes down off the 151 that he's had the past two seasons. So he's in that 130 to 140 range. He's not going to lose that much. The thing about it is, can Blake Bortles get him the football like he couldn't do last year? So if Blake gets him the football, he'll go back up to 80-something catches, over 1,000 yards, and might flirt with double-digit touchdowns. So I'm in on Allen Robinson.
What about the rest of the receivers?
I don't want no – I'm Marquise Lee, you know what I'm saying? Maybe if, like, I don't see an upside guy that I like better. Where do I have Lee ranked at?
Yeah, I mean, I could see Robinson getting back to double digits. I mean, he had 14. I don't think he's getting back to that. He had six last year.
Where do you have Marquise Lee ranked at?
I got Marquise Lee. I'm pretty high on him. I got Lee at 52. I got him one spot behind Marvin Jones, one spot in front of Quincy and Nunua.
You do like him a lot. 52, okay. Matty, where do you have Marquise Lee ranked?
Marquise Lee, I would say, I don't have it right up right now, but probably like the 60 range, like somewhere in that thing. He's like, to me, a five. I love him as a six wide receiver as I'm building. You know, I like to have pretty much four wide receivers in there. You know, one of my flex. So I do like him, but as we say, the passing game should come down. I don't think Blake Bortles is going to be slinging it like he has.
And you haven't done the wide receivers yet, right, Scotty?
No, but okay. I probably have in the mid 50s.
Okay,
be careful that range. With that. Because
why do you say that?
With on Fantasy Pros, I'm quite sure he's probably in the 80s.
Marquise Lee on Fantasy Pros is currently number 70.
Okay, so there you go right there.
Number 70.
So I'm a high guy on Marquise Lee.
You're the high guy. You're not that far behind.
No. That's where he belongs.
Too, like
I understand, but he's 70 on Fantasy Pros. So you guys will all have him higher. That's what I'm saying.
I think
a little bit, yeah.
Okay. I think he comes in that spot where you're going to say, do I draft Marquise Lee? Do I draft Zay Jones? Do I take Tyler Gabriel? Those guys are going to be in that conversation.
If Jones has a good training camp, Jones is going to rise up draft boards.
And Gabriel, like what did Tracy Hankin in the FSTA B draft? She got Tyler Gabriel in the 13th round. I thought that was terrific value.
Yeah, Tyler Gabriel, perhaps the third wide receiver this year that people are most interested in.
I think Gabriel's true fantasy value comes from an injury to Julio Jones.
Yes.
So listen to my turn right here. Listen to this turn right here in this NFFC Draft Champions I'm doing. My 14-15 turn. Zay Jones and Devontae Booker. That's the 14-15 turn.
Booker.
Just thought I'd share that with you. Oh, Fantasy Home Shopping Network.
A new episode coming out today.
A new episode will be out today. The subject is going to be Martavis Bryant.
Martavis Bryant. We hear our sources at the network tell us there's good deals for Martavis Bryant.
There you
today.
Go right there.
I'm hoping that the male Vanna White, Mike Florio, will be
there. We will not have Mike Florio for today's episode.
Oh, is Stanford filling in?
No, but I think we may have to take a phone call today from somebody. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I want to stay in the AFC South here for a second for a third wide receiver, a guy that people are high on here. That's Kamar Aiken.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
Love him.
Okay on him. I don't love him.
Okay. So Kamar Aiken, Corey, you have said you will love him. He's the third wide receiver behind T.Y. Hilton, who you love, behind Dante Moncrief, who you like. So you must love this Colts offense.
I love the Indianapolis Colts offense. You know what it's going to be. It's going to be about Andrew Luck, if he's healthy, back there winging the football, 600-something times a game. I think that that's what the Indianapolis Colts do best. They've been in that system for a couple years now. Andrew Luck is comfortable with that. We know how T.Y. and Moncrief, Moncrief being that excellent red zone target, T.Y. putting up yardage. I got T.Y. at four. T.Y. putting up yardage all over the field, like just about anybody's business, the durability. I just love this offense in Indianapolis because of the consistency of it year after year. Now you put Aiken in the spot. Listen, is he going to... He is going to beat out Phil Dorsett to be that third wide receiver on that team.
That's the key there.
Yeah, because Dorsett, you know, can have a role like that downfield guy. But I think Aiken has a skill set that like, a lot of the others don't, where he's like that big rangy sort of guy who can make that tough catch on the sidelines, keep the 2 feet in. I think he's somebody can look for on key downs. I think he plays a different role there that can sometimes help you out in depth and PPR format.
I'm just concerned about the third wide receiver in Indianapolis. I'll tell you why in a moment. But Phil Dorsett was given every opportunity last year. Hilton was down. Moncrief was down. Phil Dorsett sucked.
Nothing.
He's not going to be number three wide receiver. Kamar Aiken can be. Will he step up? That's the question we have to figure out when we return here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tell number three wide receivers.
Number three.
Because when it's all said and done, the Knicks may have the number three pick tonight.
Strike three. Yeah. Let's go, Greg.
I have no
idea. One, two,
three. There you go.
Three is my favorite number.
Was that the count?
Yes. One, two, three.
All right.
Three wide receivers.
If you want to see how crazy we're acting in the studio, make sure you subscribe to FNTSY YouTube channel.
It's on YouTube. And then,
yeah, but it's not on now. But I'm saying later on in the day, it'll be some videos up, and you'll see how we... How we in the studio chilling, acting crazy, you know what I'm saying? So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, and then you'll get to see the Fantasy Home Shopping Network today. So look out for that.
And foul territory.
And we got another surprise coming up today, too.
That's right, Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Yeah, that. And then I get to get in character today, too.
Sorry?
I get to get in character today, too.
You do? And we have an NBA draft special tonight?
It's a lot going on, so you need to subscribe to FNTSY YouTube channel.
You getting in character again today like you did, 2 weeks ago?
What did I do 2 weeks ago, Scott?
Like you dressed up like Marshawn Lynch
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting in character like that again today, too. I love it. I have a good time talking football.
I thought it was great. I really did.
I thought it was, too.
Send me a DM, shorty. I'm sorry. My bad. Let's go.
It's not...
Sorry.
The microphone and the football. Yeah.
I was told I had to carry the football so I don't fumble.
You were not told that.
Okay,
you doing a tiki barber?
Yeah, I'm doing a tiki barber.
We're not told that.
I was about to say something about tiki, but I'm not going to do that.
Kamar Aiken, the third wide receiver now in Indianapolis. Yeah, the third wide receiver with Andrew Luck, let's be fair, has never had success.
Because they use a tight end so much.
Yeah, Jack.
Why now? Well, you said, you love Kamar Aiken.
I love him this year, but why? I think he's more talented than any third wide receiver they've had. That's where I'm going with it. I think his talent level... You know what I mean? We've seen what he's been able to do in flashes in Baltimore when he was the guy. They went out and got him. It hasn't been working out with Phil Dorsett. Now, Swoop and Homeboy are being in the mix. Jack Doyle that everybody loves, and I love him too. But it's enough footballs to go around where Kamar Aiken can get some love in this offense. You know what I'm saying? So I like Kamar Aiken. It's going to be weeks throughout the course of the season where Kamar Aiken is going to be in lineups as a flex option, wide receiver three flex option.
I'm okay with it because here's the thing. I was talking about the role. This guy's 6'2", 215. He's different than the other guys in the offense. He's a big target. When Andrew Luck is looking for a key down, or he's looking maybe even in the red zone, because this team, look, T.Y. Hilton, as much as I love him, we talked about T.Y. Hilton, PPR versus standard. You know, he's not a big red zone guy. None of these guys, Moncrief, you know, they liked him in the red zone, but I feel like Aikens a combination of somebody who can help move the sticks and catch the ball in the red zone.
Well, I mean, we're 1 year removed from Aiken being kind of like a sleeper going into last year. Yeah, people were kind of hot on.
Yep.
So I do agree, though, he does need maybe an injury.
Yeah.
Like Corey said, he will have a week or two. He's not somebody you can depend on. He's not somebody you're actively targeting. But later on in the draft, he's a depth guy that you want to have.
If he's on your team this season, at some point you'll be thankful you have him.
Corey, let me ask you this. You have said just a little moment ago that T.Y. Hilton is number four wide receiver overall.
Yeah.
After Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham. Correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? Next is T.Y. Hilton. Does it bother you that your number four overall wide receiver has never in his career had more than seven touchdowns?
No, I'm looking at those catches and I'm looking at that yardage. He's going to put up the most catches in that offense. He's going to put up the most yardage. T.Y. Hilton is an ascending player. He's getting better. So I think the chemistry in that system for so long right now, I don't worry about touchdowns. I want yardage. I want catches. I want systems and schemes that players have been in for a while.
Here's a comparison.
T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton, the durability that T.Y. Hilton shows, I like that a lot also.
Here's a comparison. Every year this guy was a first rounder and he never scored a lot of touchdowns. Andre Johnson.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah.
And sure. If you want to see, he's graded as the fifth wide receiver overall. Like that's a PFP grade. It's not a fantasy grade. But as an NFL wide receiver, he's graded number five. So that's pretty good.
He's going to get 85 to 95 receptions. He's going to have 13 to 1,400 yards receiving. Now, mind you, he might only have six or seven touchdowns because Dante Moncrief eats so much, and they use Swoop, and they'll use Jack Doyle, and they also you'll get some shovel passes to Frank Gore. Andrew Luck might run three or four in also. But give me that consistency. I can bank on the 80 receptions and the 1,300 yards, and I'll take that. More than I'll take having to rely on somebody scoring 14 touchdowns.
Let me stay inside the AFC South here. I want to talk about another sleeper. I know Jake was really high on this guy last year. Talk about Jake's rankings, of course, available now inside the Exclusive Edge package, RotoExperts.com. He's free radio. When to check out, you get a few shekels off. That's in Houston. I get it. Houston, no one knows what to do with the quarterback. We've talked about DeAndre Hopkins a lot over the past week or so. But the other wide receivers in Houston, Will Fuller is number two. We'll talk about Will Fuller another time. I want to talk about Braxton Miller for a moment. People like Braxton Miller.
I love him.
Matt loves Braxton Miller. Why?
He's just an athletic kid. Look, it was his first year. He really, you know, he had like 15 receptions or something. He didn't get it, but he got the experience of the thing. And DeAndre Hopkins is the number one, no doubt. Will Fuller has good attributes to him. But I think if they can work this kid in, he could do a lot of damage in the open field. He's one of the kids, that was standing out for them in practices and camp and everything. And I think in year two, I think he has the possibility. I'm not saying go out there and you know, but he's somebody you're going to be. I'm going to be heavily watching come this preseason. I want to see his role. I want to see the further development of him. So he's somebody you should definitely have on a watch list.
I think he's a couple years in the quarterback away from a Terrell Pryor type season. You know what I'm saying? The Ohio State playmaker / quarterback running back type guy. I still think he's a couple of years away from that. But I don't mind people having high opinions on Braxton Miller. He's a dynamic talent. But I just think with the quarterback situation, we want to get Hopkins right first before we start fooling around with Braxton Miller.
And here's the thing. Like, I think Tom Savage could open the season as the quarterback, but I don't expect him to hold the job. I think Deshaun Watson's too talented. I like him too much, and I think maybe Miller, I like him too from a skill set perspective, but I think he might be a year away because I think there might be some transitioning in that passing game. And like Corey's talking about, let's get Hopkins right. I just don't feel like the consistency is going to be there.
See, what I worry about, everybody know how much I love Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
but Jason Braddock says Tom Savage is going to be the mm-hmm. quarterback all season. See what I'm saying? And I'm like, if Jason Braddock say it, I kind of feel like, he know what he's talking about.
I don't know if I agree with it.
Well, he does have to learn a really difficult offense and stuff. And I don't know. If Savage proves that he's competent enough, I think with the defense, when you get Watt coming back, I mean, I know they look blue and stuff, but
you got Watt, you got Clowney now on that same team. My thing is just drive the game. You know what I'm saying? All Savage got to do is drive the game, let the defense win it.
What I'm saying here, though, is he's a guy I would write down. I wouldn't sleep on Braxton Miller in the slot. That's That's my
I
advice.
Think sometimes quarterbacks come out of college and they're just too damn talented to make sense for it to hold back. And I feel like Watson's going to get in there at some point.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of more with Corey here, Matt, to be honest with you, and Scotty, in that Braxton Miller, like, let's figure out DeAndre Hopkins before we get to Braxton Miller, basically. It was my,
no, I understand, but I think this is a team that the problem is, I think Gabe Morenci put it up last night, who threatens the Patriots the most?
Sure.
And the Texans, until you really know the quarterback or you can really see, I wanted to pick them. I took the Raiders. It was more of a chalky kind of pick. But the Texans, to me, if the quarterback situation is competent, they probably are the team that will challenge the Patriots the most because they have that defense. We saw what they did in the first half of the playoffs. It's just unfortunately the quarterback was garbage.
It's true. They had no chance because they had no quarterback, and that's why Derek Carr deserves $25 million.
I totally understand your guys about maybe he is a year away, which is why you'll get him for nothing, or you don't even have to draft him, and he might be a guy in week two you want to pick him up. But
he was active 15 times last year, but he was on the field for 380 snaps, as compared to Will Fuller, who was active. How many games was Will Fuller active in? Will Fuller was active in 14 games, yeah, and was on the field for 830 snaps. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's just not there for him yet.
No, also, Jalen Strong still exists, doesn't he?
Who?
Jalen Strong still exists.
Jalen Strong is beat up, though.
I'm
a Jalen Strong guy, but it's over.
Write the guy's name down, put him in your book, and
like my man Lenny Melnick say, etch that name on your kitchen table.
There's a lot of names in that kitchen table. It's like a lot of holes.
Scooter Jeanette.
So Braxton Miller won. You're etching the name in the kitchen table.
Yeah, I think that I think ultimately there's a difference between liking a guy from a scouting perspective, which I respect, but what his fantasy impact is going
to
be.
We've gone through three of the four teams in the AFC South. The other one's impossible to predict who the third wide receiver is. We've had to figure that out throughout the week with Eric Decker, Rashard Matthews, and Corey Davis. All three guys going in very similar spots within a round of each other, all three, because everyone's trying to figure out who number one is, number two, and number three in that order. I don't think we have an answer yet.
I think the biggest beneficiary is Marcus Mariota.
I think so, too. Yeah. I ultimately think so, too.
He's right, because the best quarterbacks in the NFL spread the ball around,
right,
and he's got enough diversity of targets now.
And we didn't even mention
that he can
Walker.
Spread the ball around Walker. And be effective.
Let's one thing, Marcus Mariota. We said it recently about Andrew Luck. I want to see Mariota healthy. I want to see him back on the field healthy because he broke this leg, and it's taking me a long time to bounce back from this broken leg. So let's see him back on the field first. I'm probably the cautious one of Mariota.
They feel good about him, though. They feel good about him and how he's progressing and how he's coming along so far.
I just hate hearing that everyone says when they break their legs or tear their knee that, like, the last thing they need to do is get over the mental hurdle of doing the running. And, like, a lot of Marcus Mariota's value comes from running. So
he was a participant. He was full participant in team drills doing OTAs.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, we're going to come back. I want to wrap up the show with a baseball point from last night regarding Justin Verlander. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning. Wrap up right after this. I gotta call you out here for a moment because you called me out. I appreciate it last night.
Okay.
You know, we're friends. We root for each other. And you were loving the hatred I was receiving on Tyson Ross last night.
I did warn you about that, though. I did try and last month I was like, but look, hey, you got Jimmy Nelson, right?
I don't. Not in that league. So you know why? Do you know why I like head-to-head? Because nights like last night happen. So if I'm going to lose ERA this week because I had Tyson Ross. Not only did I have Tyson Ross last night, I also had Jeff Hoffman last night. I was like,
oh, you got blown up.
Both of them did.
He had 10-run inning for Arizona last night.
Yeah, 6-run inning for Texas. My ERA through 3 days where I've had those two guys, I had Zach Davies, I had Clayton Kershaw. My ERA is over 21 innings is 12.3.
Wow.
But you know what? It all goes away on Sunday. After Sunday, my ERA is
zero.
That
is the good
again.
Part of head-to-head.
Like, if I had
rotisserie, you keep it.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
This week with four starters, I'd be dead. Instead, went to slate clean. No big deal. Yeah. Back on Monday.
That Jeff Hoffman, third inning, he gave up 10 runs.
No, it was the fourth inning. He was flying along. Three shutout innings.
Brandon
one
Drury had six RBIs without a home run.
I was just about to turn on Fargo, and Vlad sent me that text. He's like, thank God we didn't start Hoffman. And I was like, praise be Jesus.
So, to be fair, if it wasn't head-to-head where both of our ERAs were like 7 going into last night, I was like, you know what? I had nothing to lose. Let me just try to get strikeouts and stuff. And I started. I would not have started Tyson Ross against Toronto. I would not have started Hoffman in Colorado against Arizona. I wouldn't have done it. Just my matchup that week made sense. Look at the Justin Verlander, who retired the first... like 20 16, batters?
Yeah, 16,
I thought. 16, 18, whatever. 16, we'll say. 16 batters. Get into the sixth inning?
It was like the one out in the sixth.
One out in the sixth, okay.
And then...
So 16, 16. Okay. So 16, and Jared Dyson's up. And he's retired the first 16 batters. He's got a perfect game through that moment. Jared Dyson drops a bunt.
But Jared Dyson should be doing it. That's what Jared Dyson is built for. That's his game. It wasn't like a power hitter came up and they had the shift on and he laid the bunt down there in the seventh, eighth inning of a 12-0 game. And after that, what happened?
Well, this is the thing. It's not a 12-0 game. It's a 4-0 game.
Mm-hmm.
Drops a bunt down. Verlander gets a little pissed off about that. And then the floodgates open and Verlander loses.
Afterwards, he said he wasn't. He said he understood what the kind of player that Dyson is.
He was pissed, though.
You could see, but he tried to at least say the right thing, right? But, you know, if that's your job. You know, you're, what are you, seventh, eighth in the order? You're a speed guy. It's your job to get something started, not worry about the unwritten rules.
I was disappointed in Kate Upton. She should have went like savage on him on Twitter.
Savage.
That would have been great.
That's what I was hoping for, too. That's what I was hoping for, too. But yeah, I also had no issue.
Yeah, I mean, people on Twitter were like getting really offended by this stuff. And I'm like, look. And then they scored 3 runs that inning, and they went on to win the game.
So it worked. Everything did work. Which is the point. Try to win the game.
It started a torrent of hits. Like,
exactly.
It was going to get ruined regardless.
Scotty, sorry about Zach Wheeler, man.
What about him?
I'm sorry. He's on the DL. It sucks. Yeah. Another Mets.
You know what? After he got bombed the other night, I think he's headed to the DL. Maybe Gesellman is next.
Yeah, Gesellman needs he needs a stint in the minors. But even with Wheeler, they're saying it's, you know, we're going to get a start. He was going to get shut down some point.
Scott, if maybe, I had a dollar, every time the Mets said that.
Oh, yeah, look. But I'm just saying. I'm trying to be positive here for Scott.
Silly
if
idea.
Say he misses the 10 days or whatever, they were going to shut him down. So maybe he just clears his head out and stuff. And it's a good. He was pitching really good.
He was.
Up until these last 2 starts.
You know, you say I missed the positivity. It's like I'm very hard to find any positives right now.
Really?
Other than like Jacob DeGrom.
The Mets already going to the playoffs, you don't think?
I don't think so, unless somebody gets some tickets.
It's June 21st.
There are too many injuries.
Corey, what's going on?
You were right.
Coming up on Old School Fantasy, we're going to take a look at, you know what? I had a plan already set up, but I'm switching it. We're going to mock the draft for George Kurtz. And also, Devonta Freeman had some interesting comments yesterday saying that he should have been Super Bowl MVP. He missed the block on the strip sack. Can't blame other people.
Can't blame other people. For Wall Street, for the king, for the exec, I'm Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy is up next. Have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. Watch Balterra Tour tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern. The Road to Experts in the morning. Bye-bye.